Chapter 82. We found a place, priced at a steep discount, just up the coast, outside Santa Barbara. Lots of room, large gardens, a climbing frame, even a pond with koi carp. The koi were stressed, the estate agent warned. So are we. We'll all get along famously. No, the agent explained. The koi need very particular care. You have to hire a koi guy.
Uh-huh.
And where does one find a koi guy? The agent wasn't sure. We laughed. First world problems. We took a tour. The place was a dream. We asked Tyler to look at it too. He said, buy it. So we pulled together a down payment, took out a mortgage, and in July 2020, we moved in. The move itself required only a couple of hours. Everything we owned fitted into 13 suitcases. That first night, we had a quiet drink in celebration. Roasted a chicken, went to bed early. All was well, we said. And yet Meg was still under loads of stress. There was a pressing issue with her legal case against the tabloids. The Mail was up to its usual tricks. Their first crack at offering a defense had been patently ridiculous. So now they were trying a new defense, which was even more ridiculous. They were arguing that they printed Meg's letter to her father because of a story in People magazine, which quoted a handful of Meg's friends, anonymously. The tabloids argued that Meg had orchestrated these quotes, used her friends as de facto spokespeople, and thus the Mail had every right to publish her letter to her father. More, they now wanted the names of Meg's previously anonymous friends read into the official court record to destroy them. Meg was determined to do everything in her power to prevent that. She'd been staying up late, night after night, trying to work out how to save these people, and now, on our first morning in the new house, she reported abdominal pains and bleeding. Then she collapsed to the floor. We raced to the local hospital. When the doctor walked into the room, I didn't hear one word she said. I just watched her face, her body language. I already knew. We both did. There had been so much blood. Still, hearing the words was a blow. Meg grabbed me. I held her. We both wept. In my life, I've felt totally helpless. Only 4 times. In the back of the car while Mummy and Willie and I were being chased by paps. In the Apache above Afghanistan, unable to get clearance to do my duty. At Notcot, where my pregnant wife was planning to take her life. And now. We left the hospital with our unborn child, a tiny package. We went to a place, a secret place only we knew. Under a spreading banyan tree, while Meg wept, I dug a hole with my hands and set the tiny package softly in the ground.